Every year I know we gonna go hard. We been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go pack go. Ain't showing no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck.
All right, welcome to a Sunday evening victory lap after the Packers dispose of the Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago, improved to 5-1, and now have a 2-game lead in the NFC North. Dane, you look a little sleepy from cheering so hard, I presume, this afternoon. I'm taking a little page out of Aaron's playbook, having a little bit of bourbon here with the podcast tonight in celebration. So we're 5-1. It's got to feel good anytime you can go down and beat your rival to take control of first place in the NFC North. I know we got a lot of football to go, but Dane, how are you feeling tonight?
I feel great. I mean, 5-1, 2-0 against the NFC North rivals, and humming along here. And I still don't think the Packers have played anywhere near their best football. They've got injuries, and they're still winning all these games. So can't ask for much more than that. And how fun is it to see Aaron Rodgers kind of ignite this rivalry even more this week, and then of course during the game shouting stuff out at the fans after his touchdown run. It's fun to watch him kind of buy into this rivalry a little bit, maybe more now than I've ever heard before. It's really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, it's almost like he feels like he owes it to the legacy of this rivalry, gaslighting the fans after that touchdown. And we'll get into all of this. Yeah. Can't repeat part of what he said, but I still own you is the title of this recap now. So it's pretty fun for sure. And I think Aaron said after the game, he talked to Fields for a minute or two and just said, hey, this is special. Enjoy this rivalry. It's different than the rest of the games. There's things like that. Is you know that it's special to him and he's soaking it up. This could be the last time he goes to Chicago as a member of the Green Bay Packers. So, we'll have plenty of time to get into that once the season's over. We seem to be enjoying the ride though for right now. We're going to get into key moments of this one. I thought the Packers had one of their more complete games of the season. You mentioned having to overcome injuries and then some more injuries, unfortunately, during the game. And then, of course, kind of just getting into our cheesehead players of the week later on. So, Dane, I think to start off the top, let's dive into the offense. And for me, it starts with the combination of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon today and what those guys were able to do on the ground. I think that set the tone in what was a really physical ball game on both sides of the ball.
I think you're right, and both running backs, I thought, played very, very well today. But want to point out Aaron Jones. He showed such good body control, such a hard runner. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves nationally when we talk about hard running backs. I think it's because he's not necessarily the biggest guy out on the field. But my goodness, today, able to get around some edges, really difficult to bring down after first contact, soft hands out of the backfield. We've watched him go from a guy as a rookie who was just explosive to a guy now who's really becoming a complete back. And it's been a privilege to watch him, and he's really the engine, I think, that this keeps this offense going. And then A.J. Dillon's been a revelation in year two. He's so hard to bring down. Talk about physical. He puts his shoulder down, and he just lays the wood on these guys. So a heck of a 1-2 punch for this Packers offense. And in the fourth quarter, we saw Dillon get a couple carries. The Bears defense started to look a little gassed. And it's just, that's exactly what the doctor orders with this offense. Give me A.J. Dillon in the fourth quarter with the Packers up. I like our chances.
Yeah, and A.J. Dillon didn't get any receptions today like he did in Cincinnati last week. This week it was Aaron Jones doing the damage out of the backfield, scoring a touchdown and just a really nifty move to make the cornerback Jalen Johnson, I believe, with the corner on that side on that play. He got right around him and then beat I believe it was Ogletree to the corner and was able to get into the end zone. So four receptions for Aaron Jones. He had 13 carries. It seemed like it was more than that. The Packers were definitely making an emphasis to run the ball in this game. And I think at halftime, Coach LaFleur talked to Pam Oliver and mentioned that they're going to try to continue running the ball in the second half. And that's exactly what they did. So I give the coaching staff, the offensive coaching staff, and Coach LaFleur a lot of credit for this game. I didn't love some of the play calling early on, but it seemed like they were able to get some rhythm. I had no problem with them trying to establish the run. Not every carry was, you know, 6-7 yards, but they kept with it, and both A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones were able to find a few lanes, and both of them had 30-plus yard runs today as well. So that's what happens when you stick with the run, and I thought they had a really balanced attack combined for 167 yards, both rushing and through the air today. So that definitely set the tone for the offense in this one.
Yeah, it sure did, it was nice to see Elton Jenkins back out there playing. It's a shame Myers, went down with a knee injury there very early, I think on the third snap. Wags, it does sound like LaFleur said after the game that it doesn't sound like a season ender for Myers, but it's. I mean, who knows how long this one's going to last. So as has been the story all season long, it's next man up for this Packer team. Certainly this Packer offensive line. I would expect Lucas Patrick is going to get some run now at center, but perhaps when David Bakhtiari is back, we could see Elton Jenkins back at center. Packers show options, but something I think to keep a lookout on. I know certainly Myers wasn't the only injury today, but one that could potentially have an impact on this offense going forward.
Yeah. Speaking of the offensive line, obviously got a nice boost to get Elton Jenkins back. Mm-hmm. It looked like in the first couple of series, he was maybe acclimating himself. In fact, after the game, he said he felt like he played much better in the second half. Yeah. And I'm talking about Elton Jenkins here. This is his words. Thought he played much better in the second half than he did in the first half. First couple series, he did give up a sack on the second series, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is not typical. He got kind of beat around the edge a little bit. So it looked like the coaching staff also made an in-game adjustment in the second quarter, and they were bringing guys in to help Chip and to block on the outside too. So they rolled with assuming that he and Turner would be okay on the outside, but Mac Quinn, yeah. They proved why that duo's leading the NFL in sacks coming into this game. So in terms of guys on the same team, they're a load. They're a load, but I thought we settled in pretty nicely. I think the O-line as a whole really played better and better from the second quarter on. And you have to say, all things considered, turned in a pretty solid performance.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. Billy Turner, just, you know, got to give him kudos. Every week it seems like he takes on opposing team a lot of talented defensive linemen of late and has played really good football, just sound football, kind of an anchor. They've run to the right side quite a bit this season with all the injuries and the reshuffling on the left side. So just want to give him a shout out. Think that he's looked really good. And then Mercedes Lewis doesn't always have the flashy plays, although he had another nice catch and run, I thought, today. But just a hell of a job blocking. Another day of just he is just a really plus blocker, both in the pass game and in the run game as needed. So Mercedes Lewis is definitely one of those guys that keeps this offense rolling along. Although I'm not sure if the casual fan, you know, he's not putting up fantasy stats, Wags, but he's a guy who they rely on to do a lot of little things for this team, and he just does it so well. And I thought today did it well once again.
Yeah, you mentioned, will Lucas Patrick stay in at center if Myers is out for a few weeks. We'll have to see. It sounds like he may have at least a couple of week injury, perhaps. Yeah. We'll find out more by Tuesday or Wednesday if it's some type of knee hyperextension or sprain. That could be a 2 to 4 week type injury. But Coach LaFleur isn't typically going to come right out and say anything. So the fact that he said he didn't think it was a season ender, I think is probably a pretty good sign that we've dodged a little bit of a bullet there. On the downside, Royce Newman, kind of talking about where Lucas Patrick could fit in, didn't have the best game in pass protection particularly. So I think as we've been evaluating Royce Newman, and not just today, but the last few weeks, I think the future's bright for this guy. And, you know, coming in as a rookie, tough assignment to get thrown in right away. And he's been starting every week. Not necessarily the plan. Well, kind of, because we knew Bakhtiari was going to be out. But even so, he's had some moments and he's had some rookie moments as well. Totally. And I thought today he had a couple of those. So it will be interesting to see if he's someone that maybe kind of slides into more of a backup role as we move forward as well. Obviously, if for now we need Lucas Patrick out there at center, we may need some more Royce Newman out there at right guard as well. But Dane, kind of moving on from the offensive line, this was, for the wide receivers, a game like we haven't had from this group this year. It's kind of odd to say that Devontae Adams had a quiet game, but for him it was, aside from the big 41-yard catch in the fourth quarter on the Packers' final scoring drive, not counting the last series when they were just icing the clock. Now, 4 receptions, 89 yards, not a bad game by any means, but we saw some other guys get involved, and this week it was finally Alan Lazard. Didn't fill up the stat sheet, but was able to get in the end zone and made a couple of other nice catches. So what did you think? Was that a conscious decision that Aaron was looking his way a little bit more, or was that just part of the game flow, or how did that work out for Alan this week?
I think it was game flow, personally. Just judging by it, I think that the Bears did everything within their power to limit Devontae Adams. And, you know, limiting Devontae Adams is getting him just under 100 yards, it seems like, these days with how talented he's been. But I think that Lazard just ran some good routes today. The Bears played some soft coverage, allowed him to get a quick release inside on that early play. He was able to kind of get underneath the defense, I thought, and complete that play. Nice touchdown catch for Allen as well. But I think that Rodgers and just kind of took what the Bears were giving him on those plays. Same with it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but the St. Brown touchdown that was called back, and phantom pass interference as far as I'm concerned. But the Bears were giving him what they're giving, some single coverage, and Rodgers kind of just took a shot there. So I don't know if there was a conscious decision really to get Allen the ball, Wags. Maybe there was, but it would surprise me just based on how this offense has been playing this year. I think instead it was just more, you know, opportunity. There's other receivers on the team. If you're going to cover up Devontae completely, we're not running the ball. The ball's got to go somewhere. Why not Allen? Allen's had a couple really big games in his career. He's shown to be pretty reliable chain mover, and in that instance, he was once again.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly on the touchdown, they were doing what they needed to get him the ball. He was the intended receiver. And a little bit more creativity than we've seen so far this season.
I like around that, the goal Wags. Line. I perhaps, like that.
Perhaps Coach Hackett decided enough with the talk of the Packers' analytics not performing up to par, and he decided to implement a gold zone play this week against the Bears. There's no better time, right, than when you're in Chicago. Kind of almost got blown up a little bit by Mac, but thankfully, you know, they executed and had the timing down, and Allen was able to get in for the end zone. So, Dane, any other thoughts on the offensive side of the ball before we move over to the defense?
Just Aaron Rodgers. I say just, air quotes, just Aaron Rodgers, a three-time MVP. But he was, the stats don't show, I think, You know, how good he was with his legs today. Obviously, the touchdown, it shows, but I thought he played well enough. He's still not hitting his deep ball entirely. There's no doubt about it. This game could have been blown wide open if he's a little more accurate on a couple of those deep balls. And that's been, I think, people are wondering what's the difference between this offense and last year's offense that was historic. And I think so far, Rodgers largely has been a little more missed than hit this year on some of his deep balls. If he's able to get that honed in second half, watch out, because they're blowing the roof off of some of these teams that have kept it close. But I thought overall he had good pocket feel today, shook off some of those early pressures and sacks where he was really under some duress, and in the second half was able to settle in, hit his mark, and you know, that check down to Aaron Jones was wonderful. A couple of years ago, the Packers weren't checking down. This year and last year, some of the most success they've had is some of these check downs, and you know, checked it down, Aaron Jones was able to shake off a would-be tackler and took it to the house. So good on Rodgers to not try to take everything all the time. I thought he really played within himself today, used his legs when needed, and also was able to utilize somebody like Aaron Jones who has the ability to make guys miss. So just, I thought, pretty darn solid game from Aaron Rodgers. It's not one of those, you know, world beater performances, but he did everything he needed to do, played within himself, and the Packers won, and he's going to take that every day.
Yeah, only threw the ball 23 times.
Yeah.
So that's not very many attempts, but we didn't really need too many more. You said it. I thought that first series, not an easy throw to Devontae down the left sideline, but one we've seen him complete many, many times over the course of his career, wasn't really all that close. So it just looked like the timing was off on that one. Had Alan Lazard open up the seam in the second half. I think the first third quarter, but I don't remember exactly when that was, but Allen had, he wasn't wide open, but he had a step on his defender, and Aaron overthrew him. So yeah, you're right. I'm not gonna be terribly concerned about it. We've seen this a few times so this season, so hopefully he hones that in, and I think we'll see a few more of those plays hit as we go forward for sure. So Dane, one other thing I wanted to quickly highlight. And I know we talked about Aaron Jones already, but I thought the TV telecast did a good job of highlighting the work that he was doing in pass protection today. Yeah. And it wasn't just on the play that they showed where he stepped up and picked up. I believe it was Akeem Nicks was coming up the middle.
Yeah. No easy task.
No easy task. And, you know, all 5'11", 185 pounds of Aaron Jones steps up and kind of stonewalled him just enough to give Aaron time to complete the pass. It was a number of times, though. You've said several times they've been moving Aaron Jones around quite a bit, where he's starting off split out in the slot. They'll bring him back into the backfield pre-snap motion, or he'll line up. Several times today he was lined up just off tackle, and he was the guy primarily responsible for chip blocking, either Mac or Quinn. So, you know, I think he did a really nice job. Maybe that's why I felt like he was more involved. He had, you know, good work today, 17 touches, but he was, you know, doing things that isn't necessarily typically what I would say a star running back with his role is asked to do. So just wanted to highlight what he was doing out there to really help the team be successful on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, total team player. That's it. I mean, he is a complete back. There's a reason they wanted him to come back. Can you imagine this offense without Aaron Jones right now? Because I can't. He really gets this thing rolling.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal, particularly the last few weeks. And A.J. Dillon's been doing some nice work. But Aaron Jones, his ability to set up his blocks, and he reads, and he's always falling forward. It doesn't seem like he takes he doesn't dish out the punishment that A.J. Dillon does. But he definitely is able to create lanes and holes that A.J. Dillon isn't quite doing at this point in his career. So he just kind of goes to another level for sure. Okay, well, Dane, before we jump over to the defensive side of the ball, let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor. And DraftKings is the official sports betting partner of the NFL. And they do have a new deal starting this week. If you use the promo code TPPPN, which is the Pigskin Podcast Network, you can get $200 in free bets with a $5 bet in any NFL team to win their game. So, Dane, you've been keeping us up to date on your wife Andrea's winning picks in the daily fantasy portion of DraftKings. So how did she do this week?
So far, so good. It sounds like, I think it sounds like CeeDee Lamb really carved her up, though. So I'm not sure if she's in a great mood about that. I think she was thinking about him, decided to go somewhere else. So, you know, it's still a little prickly right now after that. But I think overall she took Aaron Jones today. So really good news there because, I don't know if I had an influence on it, but I was nudging her. I think Aaron Jones might have a big day. And if she's winning, I'm happy for the family.
Yeah, for sure. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and you can win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code TPPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, so Dane, I'm just going to set this up for you. Yeah. On the defensive side of the ball, I mean, we've just got guys dropping left and right. Yeah. And, it didn't look great in that first series, but you've got to give these guys a ton of credit for settling in after that. And it became one of those things where even though Fields and the offense for the Bears started to get it going in their second to last series, and it looked like it might get a little bit dicey in the fourth quarter, they just really weren't able to do enough throughout the game to overcome what the Packers did on the offensive side of the ball. And I really felt like the Packers defense, for the most part, controlled this game. So what stood out to you the most today? Because we can talk about injuries. We lost a couple of more guys in Preston Smith and Darnell Savage. But let's start with the positive and the guys that were out there and contributing.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Clark starts up front once again. Just another remarkable performance for Big Kenny, having a career year, kind of next level guy. And I think fans might forget, dude's still only 26 years old. So, I mean, he's still a young guy. And that's the thing with him is he's really grown into this role, I think, where he was beating Bears offensive line. You could tell they weren't able to get their reach blocks on him. He's extending these guys, pushing them back into the backfield. Obviously, in the fourth quarter, what really stood out was a couple sacks in one series and really messed up the Bears' chances at some points. I think pushed them out of field goal range with his efforts on field. So I think that he stood out. Dean Lowry had another really good game, Wags. He's been playing, really, I think, the football that the Packers are hoping that he would play when they signed him to his contract. He's playing really good football right now as well. And I think that it's no surprise that if Dean's playing well, Kenny Clark's playing better because he's getting a little bit more help along that defensive line. So I thought that both of those guys looked very, very good. Jonathan Garvin, maybe not a household name for Packer fans, but in his second year, he's still, I think, only 21 years old. He's really putting it together. He's getting a lot more snaps than I think the Packers had probably anticipated at the beginning of the year, but with both Smiths out, he's got to get a lot more run. But I think that he's been pretty disruptive so far this year, especially the last couple of weeks, played some pretty good football for them. Rashawn Gary didn't get the stats, but was definitely in and around Fields. And I think that Wags, and tell me what you think, but think about this Packers defense, especially, we're on this winning streak here, is it's not necessarily one guy. It really does seem to be a collective unit right now where, We're not relying on one player to get those pressures. It just seems to be guys are stepping up and getting enough pressure to make guys pay. And I thought that Fields, sure, he was able to scramble and get out, but for the most part, I thought the Packers' defense really contained him well, considering he's a pretty good scrambler at the quarterback position. So I think overall, really pleased with what the Packers did. There was a couple of missed tackles, a couple of things that they need to clean up, but you're going to have that in the NFL at this level. Overall, thought that the front seven played really good football, and Rasul Douglas at cornerback coming in after being on the practice squad a couple weeks ago in Arizona, took over for Yedem after Isaac Yedem after the first series. And I thought overall played really well there as well. Sure, there was that penalty, but outside of that, he gave up some catches, but I talked about Rodgers playing within himself. I don't know Douglas all that well yet, but if he can play at that level going forward, the Packers have a heck of a signing on their hands to bring him in, especially midway through the year. So overall, I thought a really strong defensive effort, and I think that they set the tone for maybe hopefully going forward with the physicality. They were physical today, and I think aggressive physical football is going to win some games for them.
Yeah, and talking about all those guys, one of the things that I thought they did really well for most of the game was controlling the Bears' rushing attack. I know when you look at the stat line, Khalil Herbert ended up with 19 carries for 97 yards, but a good chunk of those, I don't know exactly how many, but a good chunk of those came in the Bears' scoring possession early in the fourth quarter. And so, yeah, you've got to play him the whole game. I get that. So I'm not taking anything away from that. But what was concerning going into this game was if the Bears were able to get that run game going early. And outside of that first series a little bit, and then that scoring series earlier in the fourth quarter, I didn't really think they ran the ball all that effectively. So they were putting Fields in a lot of uncomfortable down and distance situations, and that was why they were able to get him off the field for most of the game. So that was, I think, the winning formula that this Packers defense executed this week. And you're absolutely right. Kenny Clark, what can you say about the man? Just timely impact plays from the leader right now of this defense. He's the leader of this defense because he's the guy. There's not anyone else out there that we could consider. With respect to Devondre Campbell and Adrian Amos, Kenny Clark's the impact guy out there on this defense right now, and he came up significantly. So four sacks overall on the day, and Rashawn Gary wasn't getting one of those, but was getting the pressures. I think you're going to take that most weeks. A good effort overall from this defense. You got to be really pleased with that. So Dane, I think one of the other things we saw, actually quite a few rotations. Jalen Smith got his first action, didn't get a ton of snaps, but was out there. Oren Burks was still getting some snaps out there at linebacker. And then, of course, Devondre Campbell and Chris Barnes were getting their complement of snaps as well. So it seems like we're getting a little bit thin on the edge, and we don't know the significance of some of these injuries. But let's talk a little bit about that, because Preston Smith, I don't think, got more than 10 snaps today before he went out with that oblique injury. And that's a little bit of a concerning injury for me. We'll have to see how serious that is. But we're getting really, really thin at the outside. So can you talk to us a little bit about that? Anything that you have thoughts-wise? But it seems like we had a few extra guys out there on the inside linebacker position this week as well.
Yeah, you're right. Were you surprised by that at all? I mean, I know that we brought Jalen Smith in. You bring him in to play the guy, right? I thought that he played mostly in the nickel for the Packers today when he was able to get out there. Bit of an up and down day in limited action for him, I thought, but hopefully You know, as he gets his feet under him, he plays, you know, up to the par we're hoping he can play at. But I like that they're rotating different guys out. It seems like the major constant is going to be Devondre Campbell. He's going to be your anchor, and he should be, based on how well he's played so far this year. But they are going to probably be rotating a number of guys out. I think that the question becomes, Wags, what do you do on the outside, especially if Preston Smith has to miss time? That becomes problematic really quickly. Now you're down your two best outside linebackers. With all due respect to Rashawn Gary, the Smiths have, you know, the pedigree. They've done it longer. So then you're down to Rashawn Gary, Ladarius Hamilton, Jonathan Garvin. Is Oren Burks going to start getting some outside linebacker snaps again? Now that it seems like we have our fair share of inside linebackers. I don't know, but the team's going to have to get creative pretty quickly. Every team deals with injuries, but it seems like the outside linebacker group in particular are taking their hits right now. And it's hard because it's one of the most valuable spots on that defense. If you can't rush the passer in the NFL, you're in trouble, especially when you don't have your stud corner and Jair Alexander out there. So the Packers right now are playing, you know, with chewing gum and Band-Aids and whatever they can to patch this together. And I think that Coach Barry deserves a lot of credit. It is not easy to go out there and win NFL games with you know, second, third string guys in some positions. So credit to that right now. But it gets harder. It's going to get harder. So I don't have a good answer right now at outside linebacker, but I expect maybe Burks gets snaps. He's done it before. I think earlier this year, Kingsley Keke, believe it or not, was playing some outside linebacker just during warmups. He was with that position group. So they're going to have to get creative, I think, pretty quickly, especially if Preston Smith's unable to go.
Yeah, and, you know, granted, the outside linebacker position for the Packers basically plays at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So there could be some more interchangeability there. But you're right, it's not going to be easy. Ladarius Hamilton got quite a few snaps today and felt like he was getting his feet under him, is a kind way to put it, too. I think he showed some things last week, and today was a little bit rough on a few occasions. So, you know, it's going to be baptism by fire for a few of these guys out there for sure, especially now that we're down, guys. You said it, cornerback and outside linebacker. Those are your money positions on a defense.
Yeah.
So hopefully Kevin King can come back. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud,
but
it's true, right? And we still don't know if Jair is going to be able to come back with his injury. That's sort of a wait and see, cross your thumbs type deal. But it's going to be interesting what they're going to have to do next week. Hopefully we can patch things together. I'm a little less concerned about safety. You know, listen, you never want to lose any of your guys. Darnell Savage, concussion, that's not a good injury, but usually that's a 1 or 2 week type injury. And I thought Henry Black really played pretty well out there today. And Vernon Scott was injured late in camp, early in the season. He's been a healthy scratch for the last couple of weeks, from what it sounds like. But he played really good in the preseason before he got hurt. So they can always activate him if they need to. And I think he's probably itching to get back out on the field as well. So I think we can be okay at safety for a couple of weeks if Darnell Savage is out. But definitely a higher concern level for those other position groups.
What do you think of Barry's job so far in piecing all this together? I know week one, let's throw that out the window. As far as I'm concerned, I'm asking you, so we use whatever parameters you want, but I'm kind of curious your thoughts on Barry.
I mean, you've got to give him credit, right? He's gotten the guys to be ready. These guys have come in, and for the most part, most of them have been ready, and they've done the job when they've been called upon. So that's what else can you score it on, Dane? I mean, you can get into the weeds, but from what we're seeing out on the field, the performance and the product and what they've been able to do to stop these opposing offenses for the most part, that's all that really matters at the end of the day. So, yeah, you've got to give them credit. Now, we haven't necessarily faced a gauntlet of elite quarterbacks so far, so I will say that this is going to get a lot more difficult. And Coach Berry's job would be challenging enough if he had all of his studs against some of these offenses that we're going to be seeing as the season rolls along here, especially in the next month or so. But for what we've seen so far, I think you've got to give them a ton of credit, the way that they've responded and bounced back after that week one performance. I mean, what do you think? Considering circumstances, I really hardly think we could ask for more than what we've gotten from this defense.
Completely agree. I think you said it. We're totally in line. I've been pretty impressed overall with what they've been able to accomplish and do. I mean, obviously the red zone touchdown situation is not ideal. That's probably the biggest red flag that we're seeing. But outside of that, if we're just talking, broad strokes, I mean, they're winning football games, and the offense at times has not been clicking entirely. They haven't looked atrocious, but they have not been what they were last year. So it's not like we're sitting here looking at an offense that's putting up 35, 40 points every single game. The defense is keeping them in it, putting them, giving the offense an opportunity to go down and score points. So far, so good. To your point, the next month is going to be a lot really challenging, but you can only play who's in front of you. And so far, they've done a really good job, especially with the injuries.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as the red zone defense is concerned, we talked a little bit about this in our preview this past week, and I stand by it. You know, they didn't get red zone stops today. I get it, but they only had two red zone trips. I'm talking about the Bears.
That's right.
So, to me, I guess I'm not going to get overly concerned about their red zone defense. If they're getting stops between the 20s, there's no reason they're not going to eventually start getting some stops and forcing some field goals, getting turnovers, etc., in the red zone. It's going to happen. I mean, I'd be a lot more concerned if this defense was a sieve all over the field and they were giving up red zone touchdowns every time, because then it's like, well, we can't stop anybody ever. But we're getting stops. And it just happens that when they've gotten down in the red zone, it's a little bit befuddling to me, considering we've gotten stops at other areas of the field that we haven't been able to stop teams when they get down there so far this year. But I think those stops will start coming. I mean, I really do. It doesn't really make sense that they're playing pretty solid defense most of the game, every other part of the field, and then in the red zone, they forget how to play defense. I mean, don't you agree, Dane? Or is there something specifically that's happening in the red zone that would point to a real deficiency?
I see nothing, from every single – I've watched every snap, obviously, of this defense this year, and I have – I don't have the answer, but it's not like they're doing anything that's glaringly off – kilter in the red zone. So hopefully, things start to shake differently as the season wears on.
Yeah, for sure. So, Dane, do you have any other thoughts on the defensive side of the ball? Otherwise, we can get to handing out our Big Cheese Players of the Week.
Only thing I want to give a shout out, I neglected earlier, is I thought Shannon Sullivan had a heck of a game today. He was flying all over the field, played really physical, I thought, against the run, had some strong tackles, had some good coverage. So just overall thought he had a really strong performance. He deserves the kudos for that one because he played really well today.
Yeah, and we've been encouraged by Eric Stokes, and I don't know if it was because of his play specifically or he just wasn't targeted much this week. But from the stat sheets, you could say that this was his best performance so far. He wasn't getting the ball thrown at him at all. So obviously in the first series, it was pretty apparent the Bears were going after Yadam, and they were successful in that. Thankfully, Rasul Douglas came in and was able to do a pretty workmanlike job, and I was encouraged for a guy that came in off the street here recently, or I guess not off the street. They got him off Arizona's practice squad. But, acclimated himself well and comes into the game. And I thought he performed pretty admirably as well, considering the circumstances. So, Dane, then with that, let's head over to the Cheesehead Players of the Week. Yeah. Let's start on the offensive side. My nomination, I'm just going to throw this right out there. For me, it's Aaron Jones this week. I thought he did a really, really solid job in every phase of the game for what he's being asked to do. Ran the ball effectively. He didn't get the most yards that he's gotten so far this season, but I thought he ran hard. Averaged 5.8 yards per rush today, 13 carries, 76 yards. So it doesn't, not eye popping statistically running the ball, but I thought he was, you know, making a lot with not always a lot of space, and was able to really take advantage of the opportunities he had. Four receptions, had a really nice touchdown reception as well. And then, as I mentioned earlier, he was being called to do a lot of protection in the pass game. And stepped up in several moments to give some nice protection. And that's not something that was always his calling card in the last few years. It's but he's picked that up, and I thought he did a really fine job with that today, channeling his inner John Kuhn down there at Soldier Field. So, to me, I've got to give Aaron Jones a ton of credit, and he's going to be my offensive cheesehead player of the week nominee. So I don't know if you've got someone different or if we're in agreement with that.
No, he's got to be. He's got to be the guy today. Everything kind of flowed through him, and even some of the pass completions, I think the Bears were a little concerned with Aaron Jones, preoccupied with him, opened up some lanes for the passing game. So Aaron Jones played really phenomenal football today. He earned it. As far as I'm concerned, he's the big cheese player of the week on the offensive side as well. I think it's unanimous, Wags.
For sure. I'll let you take the lead. I think the defensive big cheese is pretty obvious, but I'll let you call this one out, and we'll go ahead and talk about that one a little bit.
I mean, he could be this for a number of weeks here now, but it's Kenny Clark as far as I'm concerned. He played so well once again today. It starts up front. He dominated the line of scrimmage, got those two big-time sacks, pushing the Bears out of scoring range, and all day they were trying to double team him. All day he was splitting double teams. It's so much harder than it looks, folks, what Kenny Clark is doing right now. Having a career year, he's my big cheese nominee, Wags.
Yeah, two sacks, two tackles for a loss, two quarterback hits. On that last sack, he was double teamed, and he was lined up at defensive end. So that was interesting. They were moving him around a little bit today. I think maybe something else to be thinking about. Obviously, he's not going to line up at outside linebacker, but wanting to get someone to get a little bit more pressure on the edge. And they didn't do a ton of that, but that wasn't the only time I saw Kenny line up at defensive end today. So that could be something else that they try to do to make adjustments if we've got some guys out on the outside linebacker as well. Helps those young guys when you've got Kenny Clark commanding a lot of attention lined up right next to you. So something maybe to be watching for. I'm obviously in full agreement. No question about it. Just a great, great game. And we've got to keep him healthy. I took a breath a little bit. I didn't think it was a serious injury, but he came out for a couple of plays in the first quarter, and thankfully it didn't look like it was anything too serious, and he was able to go. So he'll probably pop up on the injury report this week, but I think by all accounts, the way he played the rest of that game, he should be fine moving forward. So, Dane, I think that about does it here for tonight. Any other overall thoughts or closing thoughts about where the Packers are, or just this game in general, getting a nice victory in Chicago today?
Yeah, I think that they're working towards something is where I think that the Packers are right now. I don't think that they are a finished product. I think that the offense, I would say overall, is good with the possibility of being great. The defense right now is slightly above average, but it has a chance to be pretty damn good as well. I think that special teams still gives me heartburn. Every kickoff today, I was like, oh boy, here it comes. But offensively and defensively, very good team. These guys like playing for each other, I think. Rodgers is playing, I think, very good football. But I expect him to start hitting some of those deep balls. And again, like I said, he hits a couple of these deep balls over the last couple of weeks. They're blowing these teams out of the water. I think they're very, very close. But we're going to learn what this team's really made of, I think, in the coming weeks against some really, really strong competition. But this is a team that right now is battling through adversity, next man up mentality in a way that I can't recall them doing in previous years. This is a next man up team. These guys have a lot of pride out there. And I think that they're going to keep winning some football games, Wags.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, at some point, this could catch up to you, right? Mm-hmm. And we've got a game next week that has a classic trap game written all over it with Washington coming into Green Bay. And we've had, I think that what's impressive about this is after that opening game loss, we've been on the road four out of the first six games. So we do have some home games coming up to even that out. So I think that's one thing that's in our favor, even though the schedule does get tougher. You'd like to think, we'll get more into the Washington football team matchup in our preview on Thursday night. Yeah. So we'll talk more about it then. But just in general, with the number of injuries we have against a non-division opponent, mm-hmm. You know, we've been scraping by, you said, these next man up, getting these wins. And I'm just, you know, so we'll see. I hope it does continue because it would be disappointing, I think, if we had a letdown game next week, then going into the meat of our schedule after right. that. So, but we could get a couple of more guys back next week. MDS will be eligible to come back, potentially. Bakhtiari probably won't be back quite next week, but is eligible to start practicing on Wednesday. So we've got some guys that are going to be at least in the discussion to be out there. So and Jair won't be eligible to come back quite next week, but hopefully we get some new good news on him in the near future as well. So
yeah, no, it's exciting. Dominic Daphne's another guy, and he's going to be able to give them another little wrinkle to this offense. And does talk about a workman, right? Another kind of like workman like performer out there that gives them a lot of different looks. And we'll see if Quentin Dunbar gets called up as well. Guy's had some success in the league, signed to the practice squad currently. He has the gut feeling tells me he won't be in the practice squad all that long with some of these cornerback injuries. So I don't know if reinforcements are coming is the right way to put it, but we're going to see some other guys getting a chance to get out there. And I think the Packers are going to put their best 53 on this roster.
Yeah, well, I'd prefer it's Kevin King and Jair Alexander coming back versus, you know, looking for Quentin Dunbar as our reinforcements. All due respect to him, but for sure. And it will be interesting. I think we'll talk more on Thursday. Hopefully we find out a little bit more about Preston Smith's injury. I do have some pretty big concerns because that's the type of injury that could be long-term, and we already don't really expect Za'Darius Smith to be back this season. Mm-hmm. There's a slim chance he is, but I don't think that anyone should be. Doesn't feel like anyone should expect him to be back. I know nothing's been officially ruled on that, but it just doesn't seem like there was really any optimism with that. So we could be hurting a little bit on the outside linebacker position, but we'll have to hope that everything with Preston checks out okay, and it's on the shorter term side.
Yeah. Listen, find us. Social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. This podcast, we record live after the games, on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find it the next day, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes and Google and YouTube and Spotify and all that good stuff. So please share us, rate us, Tell your friends. Wags, this podcast is a lot of fun to do. It's a lot more fun to do when we're winning football games. I'm so glad that we are sitting here tonight talking about the Packers taking care of business against the Chicago Bears yet again in the Aaron Rodgers era.
Yeah, we still own the Bears, baby, at least for now, at least for one more game.
Yep.
So absolutely, thanks so much. Be legendary and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Yeah, I know we're gonna go hard. We've been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go Pack Go. Ain't show with no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only thing I will say.